As we understand more about genetics, the concern about passing on bad genes or mutations to the next generation grows. But can mutations have a positive effect, as evolution claims? Or are all mutations harmful? Stay tuned.
A mutation is a random change in the hereditary code.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Stay tuned as we hear about the genetic code and mutations. We'll discuss how mutations are vital to evolutionary theory and learn about the supposed beneficial mutations that we see today. We will also discover what mutations mean to creation. But first, what are mutations? Geneticist Dr. Lane Lester explains.
A mutation is basically just a genetic mistake. You know, each generation, the genes of the previous generation have to be passed along, and to be passed along, they have to be copied. And like any other copying process, the copying of genes can create mistakes, and those mistakes we call mutations.
Dr. Carl Wieland, director of the Australian Creation Organization, Answers in Genesis.
To help understand about mutations, you need to understand that inside each one of us, in fact, inside every living thing, there is information, sort of a code or a recipe that specifies, first of all, that you're going to be a human being and not an alligator or an avocado tree, and secondly, what sort of a human being within limits? You know, will you have blue eyes, brown eyes? Will you be very short, very tall? Where do we get that information from? Well, half comes from your mum and half comes from your dad. And it's sort of carried on a long rope-like molecule that everybody's heard of, DNA. Think of it like a long rope where you tie knots on it, like the Morse code, one knot for a dot and two knots for a dash. And if you had a long enough piece of rope, you could write the whole Bible on it. Well, actually, inside of you, there's not just one rope, there's two long ropes that run side by side. One comes from your mum and one comes from your dad. This information in humans, it's cut up into 23 pieces called chromosomes, but you can still see it like two long ropes of information.
These ropes, or strands of information, are made up of genes.
And a lot of people wonder what genes are, you know, G-E-N-E-S, not AMCO genes or anything like that. And that these are just like little sentences of information, little short stretches of this rope, like you imagine you were really small and you were walking along this rope of information and you came to one section that spelled out the information that said, you know, this person's going to have blue eyes, for example. And that's really a simple way of explaining what a gene is.
This information is copied and passed from generation to generation, and this copying process is very intricate.
Now, it's not copied all at once like a photocopier. It's copied letter by letter, like one of those automatic typewriters that's copying information over and over again. And in people, for example, you have information to fill hundreds and hundreds of books inside of you, written in these chemical letters on this chemical alphabet. And it's all copied, millions of these chemical letters, in 20 minutes with reproduction. And every now and again, there's a typo, a typing mistake, if you like.
Amazingly, our bodies have built-in backup systems that filter out many of these mistakes.
And the amazing thing is that there aren't more errors, but because there's machinery in the body to correct these mistakes when they occur, but sometimes one slips past even that correcting machinery. And these copying mistakes, these defects in the information, if you like, they're transmitted from generation to generation.
But these mistakes, or mutations, build up after many generations.
It's a bit like when you're copying a record tape or an audio cassette or a computer program. When you pass on a copy of a defective copy, you pass on the defect, don't you? And if people keep on copying, then down the line there's another copying mistake, then that error gets added to the initial error. And so in that way, these defects keep on adding up in time.
So if we all have these mutations in our DNA, why don't we see the negative results?
Because, you remember I talked about those two long ropes of information, one from mum and one from dad? You actually get two bits of information. Let me just take a simple example. Let's say I was really small and I was walking along your long rope of information, if you like, your DNA, and I came to the little sentence that spelled out how to make ears. Now, it's a little bit more complicated than that, but this is a valid way of explaining it. And I looked at it and I saw, wait a minute, this poor person has inherited one of these copying mistakes, one of these mutations from generations ago, probably. That means there's no information here how to make normal ears, or this poor person. Then suddenly I remember that there's two lots of information to make ears, one from mum, one from dad. So I look at the other one and I see, whew, it's okay. This person will be okay because the other gene is not affected by this defect. And there you've got the normal instructions how to make ears.
Then when do these mutations cause a problem?
If he inherits the same mistake at the same place from both parents. In other words, now there's no more normal instructions how to make ears, so he'll either have absent or deformed ears.
Biologist Dr. Gary Parker.
Mutations are really like typographic errors in a script. Evolutionists would like to think that mutations write new genetic script, that they're actually composers of new sentences in heredity that give us new traits and new abilities, but science tells us exactly the opposite.
Dr. Lester.
Darwin, as did many of his contemporaries, thought that if a creature used or didn't use a particular part, those changes would get passed on to the offspring. Well, we now know that is not the case, that the genes are passed on from one generation to the next without regard for whether or not a particular organism uses them or doesn't.
And so, modern evolutionists turned to mutations.
And so that has required that the evolutionists change their model from the way Darwin originally proposed it. And so the only way you can get a new gene, they now recognize, is if an old one gets messed up. In other words, a mutation. And so mutations, according to evolution, provide the raw materials for change. Now, as far as mutations goes, another thing that everybody knows is that almost all mutations are harmful. That's not very surprising. If you take something that's working fine and then mess with it, you expect it not to work as well as it did before. And that's the case with mutations. But the idea here is that rarely a mutation will occur that improves things.
In fact, mutations cause greater problems rather than providing the means for evolutionary change.
Sickle cell anemia is one of the evolutionists' favorite examples of a so-called beneficial mutation, and sickle cell anemia is a disease that kills early in life. So, you know, it's immediately you see that it's a very harmful mutation for a person to have. However, they only suffer from that disease if they get the mutation from both parents. If they just get it from one parent, then they do not have the disease, but they can pass the disease gene on. However, the so-called beneficial aspect comes into play if a person lives in a part of the world where malaria is a serious disease. For some reason, not perfectly understood, carrying just one of those mutations makes a person resistant somewhat to the disease malaria. This kind of mutation is not going to change the species any, because if an individual gets two of those so-called beneficial mutations, it kills them. And so you're never going to have a population, say, that has all that mutation instead of the normal gene. It's just a very special case in a very special situation, which really has nothing to do with the long-term history of the human species.
So with these discrepancies, why do evolutionists continue to insist that evolution happens through mutations?
I think you have to understand that the reason that the evolutionists assign such an important role to mutations is that they have no other candidate for it. In other words, there is no other source of new genetic material other than to mess with the old genetic material. There's just no other place to get it. And so mutations have to be the hero in this play as far as providing opportunities for change. Never mind the fact that we know that almost all mutations are harmful, a few are neutral, and extremely, extremely rare cases of beneficial ones can be proposed.
Dr. Parker.
One of my students was doing his master's degree, he's now doing a doctoral degree, and the evolutionary professor was talking in genetics class about how mutations are the raw materials for evolutionary progress. And this student just raised his hand and asked the prof, "Would you please give us some examples of good mutations?" Well, there was a long, embarrassing silence that followed. And finally the prof said, "Well, I can't think of any right now, but there must be hundreds of them." But he didn't come back to class the next day with a list of hundreds. In the Handbook of Biological Data, you can see page after page after page after page after page of harmful mutations. They don't even have a page for listing good mutations. But it looks like mutations do a great job of explaining the origin of disease organisms, and birth defects, not at all the origin of species.
Dr. Lester.
what is required, of course, for evolution is not just a mutation. In other words, no single mutation is going to produce a new structure, such as an eye, you know, where there has never been an eye before, or any other structure like this that has a certain amount of complexity. In any case, if you could even produce an imaginary scenario, you would take many, many, many mutations, which would really, you know, be ridiculous to even contemplate to produce something that's really brand new. We never see any organism on Earth having mutations that are moving even in the direction of a new structure, such as an eye or a wing or anything like that.
Dr. Parker puts it this way.
Science tells us exactly the opposite. Mutations are just mistakes. Usually they're one-letter mistakes in a large genetic sentence, and right away that's telling us that mutations are real, yes, evolution, no. Mutations can't even possibly lead to evolutionary changes because they don't give us new information. They only give us variations on old information, and most of that variation is harmful.
In fact, mutations are a decrease of information.
Now, the first and the most important thing from the point of view of creation evolution to understand about mutations is that copying errors will never increase the information. It loses information. It shows you how complex information gets lost. It doesn't show you how to build up information. And of course, natural selection on its own can't build up information. It can only choose from information that's there already. And so the real problem for Darwinians is, how do you get all the information? And the only answer for them is mutations. The problem is for them that we've never ever seen one single mutation that adds information.
The inability of mutations to provide a viable vehicle for evolutionary changes negates current evolutionary theory. But what does this mean to creation? Dr. Lester.
Well, it's clear both from the revelation of the Bible and also from the findings of science that creation makes superior scientific sense.
Carl Wieland.
We see mistakes happen because at the curse, at the fall of man into sin, God says the whole earth was cursed for Adam's sake. And in fact, the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 talks about the fact that creation is groaning in pain, in bondage to decay, and mutations are just an expression of that curse. But we also read in that same chapter of Romans that it won't be groaning like that forever, that it's going to be liberated from the curse, because Jesus Christ, the obedient last Adam, shed his blood in death to overcome this curse of death and bloodshed, and he's going to create a new heavens and a new earth. Things are going to be restored back to the original perfection.
We hope you've enjoyed today's program on mutations and have had your faith strengthened in biblical creationism. If you would like more information about genetics and the creation evolution issue, we'd like to send you Impact Article Number 89. Please request Article Number 89 when you contact us. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800-7-GENESIS, or 1-800-743-6374. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.